Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Hey, locksmiths, I'm Angel, host of the ModCo podcast and fellow locksmith. The ModCo podcast is a weekly podcast that talks about organization and entrepreneurship. We cover topics such as organizing your finances, avoiding burnout, mental health, and sharing the realness of being an entrepreneur. New episodes available on Wednesdays.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks Presents True Crime for the Short on Time. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying bite-sized true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, it's wonderful to see you. How are you? How was your week been?
Hello, John. It's wonderful to see you. I'm doing pretty good. We got this cold front that came through, so I've been great today. But nothing too exciting here, just enjoying the fall weather. I hung a new little mosquito net. Door hanger.
Nice.
I don't know what they're called, where they're like magnets. It's like a magnet door.
Mm.
You just go through it. So I've really been enjoying that yesterday and today.
Just letting the wind blow through.
Oh, yeah. I left one of the windows open today.
Oh, there you go. It's a good way to get murdered.
I was trusting that the cats and the dog were going to take care of it. But I came home and the house was nice and cool. It just felt crisp and like fall. So it was well worth the risk of getting murdered.
Yeah, it is crazy because it feels like it went from summertime to fall, like just overnight. So it was like 60 degrees here today and super windy. But then by like this time next week, it's supposed to be back to like 79. So,
oh yeah, we were 80. I think it was 86, 87 yesterday. And today the high was like 73.
Yeah, we got like, I was outside and I was like, it is cold. Yeah, I still have my gym shorts on. I dress like Adam Sandler when I'm home. It's just gym shorts and t-shirts, you know? So I was outside. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, I know.
So for tonight, I put on some joggers. Yeah. It's a little cold.
We have a very unique fashion sense, but no, I was outside. We put up our Halloween decorations because, you know, Millie's super into it. So we have this big light up blow up ghost that we've had. I mean, geez, probably since she was like one, but she's named it Judy. And so every year it's like, we got to get Judy out. So we plugged in Judy today. She's on the front porch and put out the ghost lights on the walkway and stuff. But
I don't think we've talked about what y'all are being for Halloween.
So it's super weird because the kid used to be really into Bluey and then kind of migrated away from it. Mm-hmm. But since she has started school, every morning she gets up, has her breakfast, watches Bluey, and then we go to school. And so she's kind of like restarted it. So she wants to go as Bluey. She wants to be the dog. And then she wants, you know, me and Kara to be the parent. So
I don't agree with this.
It's, you know,
you had such a great costume last year.
I know.
Millie's too cool to be Bluey. No offense to all the kids that are going to be Bluey for Halloween. I've never watched it. Don't really know what Bluey is, but I can only imagine. It's just like Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
No, it's a lot better. Like, I don't mind watching it with her.
Is it the Snoop Dogg?
No, no, they're Australian shepherds. Actually, they're Australian dogs. Yeah. I'm sorry. I think they're like one's a blue tick and one's a red tick, but they're Australian. So it's an Australian cartoon.
Cattle dogs.
Yeah. My only problem with it is the dad in that show is amazing. He's always like playing with the kids and doing it. It's like, it makes you feel bad as a parent that you're not as good of a parent as the parents of Bluey when you watch it. But
She had imposter syndrome all day.
Yeah. But, you know, now she's running around the house, you know, talking with an Australian accent. Doing the whole thing, which I know we have people who listen to Australia.
Okay, now I just have to find her a new Australian accent character to be for Halloween.
Yeah.
Our Australian listeners, shout out. Give us some ideas. Millie needs a new costume idea.
Yeah. Also, please don't hold my my terrible accent. Australian accent against me. That's like all I that's all I could do. So anyway, if you're listening to Australia, we really do love you. I'm sorry. I'm just not good at it. But I wish I could talk like a Hemsworth. Are you kidding me?
Oh gosh.
But
I wish I was dating somebody that talked like a Hemsworth.
Well, you might want to caveat
this kind of podcast. So let's stop with the Gabby.
What was that?
Stop with the Gabby.
Yeah, let's quit with the Gabby. Get to the Stabby. This week is my week. And again, really diving into this Halloween theme again. Last year, for some reason, I felt like it was really hard to find cases, or there was only a few. And for some reason this year, it's like I'm looking for stuff and it's coming right. There's just so much of it. So I was excited. I was able to stay on theme. I'm hoping that we get to close the month out. We're going to have Jessica Gomez on for our Halloween Day episode. So we're going to close it out strong. But again, just super excited. But what do you say? Should we go ahead and jump into this week's case?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. For this week's Short on Time case, we're headed to New York City on Halloween Day in 1998. 21-year-old Carl Jackson was planning on spending the evening at a party with his girlfriend, Darlene. Carl was a quiet and polite young man who grew up in a hardworking family. His mother was a nurse and his father was a postal worker. At the time, Carl was working as a data analyst for Morgan Stanley, and he didn't usually like to go out on Halloween, thinking that it was just too dangerous. But tonight was different. Carl was going to spend the evening celebrating the holiday with Darlene. Now, during the day, Carl and Darlene had spent the day with their son, 9-year-old Clyde. The family had been attending a children's party near Gun Hill Road. After the event, they piled back into the car so that Carl and Darlene could drop Clyde off with a babysitter. On the way, they drove through the Bronx, and what would happen on that drive would change a family's life forever. While on the way to pick up their child, Carl's vehicle was struck by a flying object. Carl had become the victim of a long-standing Halloween prank. The objects striking the car were eggs. Now, the culprits, a group of teenagers, were standing on the street. Among them was 17-year-old Curtis Sterling. Carl pulled over and exited the vehicle. He was unhappy with the prank and decided to approach the teens. An argument took place, but it seemed to be nothing more. And at some point, Carl turned to walk back to his vehicle. But when he sat down in the driver's seat, Curtis Sterling appeared, brandishing a gun. And as Carl sat down, Sterling pulled the trigger, shooting the 21-year-old in the temple and killing him instantly. Now, Curtis Sterling would be arrested about a week later on Thursday, November 7th, 1998. He was caught while trying to sell the gun that he had used to murder Carl. Sterling was charged with the murder and ultimately convicted to 20 years in prison. But for Gloria Jackson, Carl's mother, the sentence didn't make things any easier. In an interview with the New York Times, Gloria said, "I think it took us 2 years to even talk about it. We were just devastated." After losing her son, she was determined to remind his killer of what he had done. So every year on Halloween, she would send Curtis Sterling a card, reminding him that she was very happy that he was still behind bars. Now, while this story is heartbreaking, it has become somewhat of a common occurrence in New York City. In fact, between 1984 and 2010, there were 24 people wounded or killed in incidents sparked by flying eggs, most teenagers and young men. And most seem to play out the same way. A group of kids throwing eggs at people, cars, or houses, the target would then confront the group and a violent scuffle would break out, with some victims ending up dead. The issue got so out of control that police and the 104th Precinct in Queens asked shop owners not to sell eggs or shaving cream to minors during the week of Halloween. So, Olivia, that's this week's Short on Time case. Again, it is a little shorty, but I'm just kind of wondering, what are you thinking? What are your thoughts? What do you got?
I mean, I think we've talked about this before. I can see where that can spark conflict. And I only say that as someone who has had their car keyed. That if I would have saw somebody keying my car or throwing eggs at my car, I would say something. I don't think you deserve to be shot in the temple, but like I can see where this is an issue. But it's wild that Queens just said between these dates you can't sell shaving cream and eggs.
Yeah. Well, I think that's something that's probably more common, I think, than we would think. But, you know, it is. It's like I remember being a kid in the wintertime, you know, growing up in Michigan. You know, I knew kids who would make snowballs and hide and wait for cars to drive by and throw snowballs and hit cars, and people get out and be pissed off.
It probably scares them.
Yeah. I know a kid that lived down the street from me threw a snowball at his neighbor's like glass front pane window. And just, I mean, the dude was just sitting in his living room, scared the crap out of him. He came out and choke slammed this kid on the concrete. And it was, you know, back in the day, like, you know, I was maybe 12. It was back when you could do that to a kid. Nobody right. got mad.
You got paddled by the principal. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, where you're just like, well, yeah, you shouldn't have thrown that snowball. Right now, that guy would be in jail forever. But,
right.
You know, he was just like, what's your problem? And the kid started getting lippy and he picked him up. But, you know, like, I remember, you know, toilet paper in people's houses.
Oh, and, yeah.
You know, egging people's houses when we were younger.
We didn't egg. We're always told that like, the egg can ruin the paint of the car. I don't know if that's true or not. I learned there's a lot of things that our parents used to tell us, like your eyes get stuck being crossed if you keep doing that kind of stuff. But we were always told not to do the eggs. You could do the toilet paper. We would do the toilet paper, but that was it.
Did you guys ever fork anybody's yard?
That was wrong. So no, we didn't. The only things that my parents like didn't want to happen to our house. She was like, you don't do that to people.
Yeah.
You don't do the bad stuff because I'm not going to have that done to my house.
Yeah. It's I remember there was a house where, I'm not like proud of this as an adult, but this girl just used to be.
Yeah, you are. We were a great role group. I can tell you that.
There was a girl in our neighborhood who was older than us and she used to be very, very mean. And you know, when we were younger, we were just like, hey man, that's like, you know, and looking back at it now, she probably had something going on at home or something like that. But we took tampons and dipped them in red Kool-Aid, you know, so they get all absorbed. And then we like left them on the front yard and like up by the door and stuff.
That's
and,
dirty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was Kool-Aid.
But like you would know. See it and you would know. I'm like, we've done ketchup on pads, you know, we're getting way off topic, but we actually used to roll my brother-in-law's house all the time, not because of my sister, but because his brother was in my grade and they had great trees. They had a great yard to roll. So he was just like an easy target. Where are we going? Lived in a quiet neighborhood. You had to be quiet. I used to roll my brother-in-law's parents' house all the time.
Yeah, if you had a weeping willow, I mean, you were just asking for it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess I say all that just to say like, you know, these kind of things have been going on forever. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, geez, in 1998, I would have been like 13, you know what I mean? Cause I was born in 85. So yeah, mm-hmm. I would have been like 13. So I could have very well been one of those kids that was like, let's, you know, throw eggs, you know what I mean? And I think Carl did exactly what, you know, most people
anybody
would do.
Anybody else would have done. Yeah. I would have been like, absolutely not.
Yeah. Like, hey, that's like, what's wrong with you? That's not cool. I got my kid in the car. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like,
yeah, my kid's in the car. My wife's in the car. Like, no, bro, we're not doing that today.
Yeah. And, you know, just to think about how young this guy was. And, you know, something I think, again, that we would all do, you know what I mean? Just being like, hey, like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, don't do that. And he was already, you know, a little put off by Halloween anyways. Like, it's not safe. You know, it's right. People get
it's like
crazy.
The one time he like goes out and does it.
Yeah. You know, and just thinking about, you know, his girlfriend and his child they left behind. And now his, you know, his parents. Yeah. I did think that was stone cold of his mom to be like, every year I'm sending you a card being like, hey, guess what? Like, I remember what you did and I'm glad you are where you are.
Kind of sounds like something Trish would do, but cut that.
No, I'm leaving it in. but that's like, you know. That's a parent who loves you and misses their kid. Like that comes from like,
it's like, hey. Halloween used to be a fun, enjoyable, you know, decorate and spooky season. And be like, no, I hate it. Like,
yeah,
no.
Oh man. I mean, it would ruin Halloween for me. And Halloween is like my absolute favorite holiday. Like this is my favorite month of the entire year. And it would be, you know, something like that happened to me. It would be ruined. Yeah. So, you know, again, I think this one I thought was interesting and I wanted to bring just because of the fact that, you know, it seems like something that's so mundane, you know, that like, I'm sure everybody has a story about, you know, their car getting egged or, you know, their house being toilet papered, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was starting a new job and it was my first day starting this new job. And when I was working at the auto plant in Michigan, and I got up in the morning to leave for work and somebody had egged my car just on the street. And I was like, it's my first day. And I got like wash all this off. Yeah. Yeah. It was awful. But, you know, I think everybody's got a story, and, you know, to think that so many of those stories end with somebody dying is kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
But if we're talking deadbolt tests, right? And I was really interested to kind of see what you would think because of the fact that this is so, again, just something that seems to happen. Yeah. You know, I'm kind of interested to see where it would fall for you. So what does something like this land for you on the deadbolt test?
I'm going to put it at a 7. I feel like I go with 7s a lot, but it's just like, they're just driving down the street. It's like how I feel about living in New Orleans when everybody was getting carjacked all the time. Middle of the day, didn't matter. Like, it's unsettling to get in your car and just constantly, when you're at a stop sign, at a red light, just watching what's happening around you. Not necessarily the cars, but like, who's walking by? Who's coming up the other side? Who's coming this way? Like, you have to just be so aware. And I feel like if that was something that just that you knew was just going to happen, or like on Halloween, it was a regular occurrence in a certain area, like it would put me on edge. I'm going to go with a 7. What about you?
You know, I think I'm going to put it at a 7 as well. And it's one of those things where like, I know that if I was, and you know, hopefully I would be smart enough not to do this, right? But like, if I was driving in the car with Millie, and all of a sudden something hit my windshield and it caused me to like get startled and swerve. And, you know, cause in the research, it didn't really like specify, but like, I can imagine, you know, you're driving, especially someplace like New York, it's not like it's light traffic, right? You're not just cruising. Right. Something hits your car. Like you swerve, you almost hit somebody. Like if I had my kid in the car, I'd be like, what the hell is your problem? And I would be very tempted to get out and confront that person if I saw him. And
that's
I would like
how
to
I
think
feel about the snowbank thing when you're talking about the snowballs. I'm like, yeah, if you swerve and hit a snowbank, like you can wreck your car, ruin your car because some kid decided to throw a snowball.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure now stuff like that is actually like a felony where, you know, you could get in serious trouble for it because you can cause somebody to crash like that. But, you know, I would hope I would be smart enough to like remain calm in the situation, be like, my kid's here, I'm not going to make it more than it needs to be. But part of me would be like, I want to get out of the car, tell this person what's up. You know what I mean? And so again, just, this is something that I could very, very well see happening to me if I were like, yeah, I'm going to get out and give him a piece of my mind, you know? And then again, just to think that, you know, his family was in the car and stuff like that, like, you know, what that must've been like in that moment,
the trauma.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I mean, I'm going to put it at a 7. I'm right there with you, but that's where we fall on the deadbolt test for this week's Short on Time episode. Olivia and I are both coming in at double 7s, but as always, we want to hear from you, the listeners, the locksmiths. Where does the murder of Carl Jackson fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. Find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what the heck are you doing? Come hang out with us. We would love to get to know you, spend a little time with you. We've got some coloring pages in there. We're going to be dropping a few more activities leading up to the return of the great Jessica Gomez. So again, come hang out with us. We'd love to have you as part of the Facebook group. And as always, if you like what we do, you want to help support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks. Get signed up today. We got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits, stickers, coffee mugs, stuff like that. Plus you get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate commercials, Patreon is the way to go. So again, if you want to help us out, throw us a few nickels, a few dimes, help us keep the lights on. That's patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening and sharing what we do with your friends and family, the people who are important to you, means just as much, if not more. So if that's you, you're sending out links, telling people to check out the show, just know that we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. Again, that's going to help us grow. It's that grassroots, right? Hey, like, listen to this podcast. Let me know what you think. That helps us get in front of new listeners. Again, really grow the pod. So if that's what you're doing, just know, again, we appreciate you from the bottom of our hearts. And one last thing before we go, we love hearing from our listeners. Olivia, you love a good voicemail, right?
Oh, the voicemails are my favorite.
You heard it. Olivia's voicemails, they just make her day, right? So we want to hear from you. So if you would like to give us a call, if you're in the United States, you can give us a call and leave us a voicemail at our very own Check the Locks voicemail box. Give us a ring at 615-920-9393. Again, that is 615-920-9393. And we would love to hear what you think about the show. Thoughts? Did we miss something? Something we could do better? Was there a particular case that stood out to you? Something like that. So again, if you're in the United States, you listen to the show, you want to give us a call, 615-920-9393. And if you're listening outside the States, maybe you're one of our listeners in Canada, or we were talking about our great folks in Australia today. If you are listening, you can leave us a voicemail as well. You just have to do it through checkthelockspod.com. Head over there, click the microphone button, leave that voicemail. We would love to play it on the show. So again, you can send us emails, anything you want to do, smoke signals, anything at all. Feel free to reach out. We would love to hear from you. That's all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying bite-sized true crime case. But until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.